Well, good morning, children. This morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about singing and when we should sing. And just, yeah, I'm going to try to touch on singing a little bit. And the main thing I'm going to talk about this morning is singing through our troubles. And, excuse me, a lot of times in life, when something goes wrong, it feels like singing is like the last thing we think about. Usually, when things are going well and life's great is when we like to sing and when we're joyful. But I'm going to talk about a story in the Bible that speaks about singing in a little different way than that. And I had to think of some troubles that you guys might face in life. I'm sure it's a lot different than what I would face. But maybe there's lots of troubles you could face. I can't stand up here and name them all. But some of them I thought was maybe your siblings or friends just annoy you. And then just about everything they do just gets on your nerves, and it just frustrates you, and you like to let them know. Or maybe some of your siblings take away your toys, or they don't ask permission to use stuff that's yours. And those are little troubles that kids can face, and they seem like they're pretty big to you guys, I'm sure. And then some other troubles maybe are is that maybe your siblings don't like to help you with chores when they're supposed to. Maybe they run off, and then you try to get your mom or dad to help them, and they're busy, and they just don't want to help, and it makes life hard. Or maybe your parents want you to do things that you don't want to do. Maybe your parents want you to do certain chores, and you just don't want to do it. And so those are some of the struggles that I came up with that you guys could maybe face. I'm sure there's plenty out there, though. And then some of the solution to that would be, I think when we face troubles like this, that we should always try to sing. And now singing can be that it's probably the last thing that we want to do in times like this, but there's a few examples in the Bible that show us that we should do this. And I think why is because our heart needs to be in a correct position towards God when we sing. And when we face little annoying things like that in life, a lot of times our heart's not in the right position with God. And then singing helps us bring our heart back to the right position with God. And then I'm going to read a verse in Psalms 34:1. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and continually, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So here we can see that David was going to bless God at all times, and it sounds like he said continually in my mouth. So that means that David was going to praise God when things were going good and when they were going bad. And with that, I'm going to read you guys a story, and then we'll talk about this story a little bit. The story is called A Choir That Won the Battle. And it talks about back when the Israelites had a big problem one day. Some messengers came, I'll read about it here, and they had a big problem. And we'll look at how they responded to it and then the results of it. So, one does not often hear of an army's being led by a choir. But that's what happened when King Jehoshaphat When Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. One day a messenger arrived in Jerusalem with bad news that the Moabs and Amorites were on their way with thousands of soldiers to attack the city. Knowing the weakness of his own forces, Jehoshaphat turned to God for help. He sent word to all the cities of Judah, urging the people to come to the temple and pray. Soon, fathers, mothers, boys, and girls began streaming the city in all directions, packing the court of the house of the Lord. It must have been a marvelous sight for so many people there were that it seemed though all of Judah were standing humbly before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children. By and by, good King Jehoshaphat began to pray. Such a beautiful prayer it was too. O Lord, God of our fathers, he cried, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen in thy hand? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou God that didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? He went on to remind God of Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. When evil cometh upon us, by sword, by judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we shall stand in the house of the Lord in thy presence and cry to thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear us and help us. Then he told of the approach of the Moabs and Amorites, saying, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have not might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So here, So here King Jehoshaphat realized his need for God, and he realized that there is a big army coming, God, and we don't have enough people to fight him. But he was crying out to God. It don't really show here that he was too fearful. It just shows that he was crying out to God because they had a serious problem. And scarcely had the king ended his prayer when another voice was heard. All eyes turned to see who was speaking. It was young Jehezreel, a Levite, and it was clear that God had given him a message to cheer the people in this dark hour. "Thus saith the Lord unto you," he cried aloud, so that the whole congregation could hear him. "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." What a sigh of relief went upon them. God was going to help them. He had taken over the problem and was going to solve it his own way. Ye shall not need to fight this battle," the young Levite continued. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." As Jehezreel finished speaking, the king and his people bowed humbly before God, thanking him for his gracious promise of deliverance. Nobody doubted that God would do as the prophet had said. Boldly, Jehoshaphat declared, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Early the next morning, all was bustling and excitement as the troops prepared to leave. Jehoshaphat moved among them, speaking words of encouragement. As he did, somebody had a bright idea. Just who it was, we're not told. But a man suggested to the king that if God was going to win the victory today, why not thank him for it in advance? Why not let the temple choir go out ahead and lead the whole army in songs of praise? The king thought this was a fine suggestion. At once, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should sing praises of the beauty of holiness. So for the first time in history, a choir went out to battle ahead of the soldiers. No doubt the rest joined in, singing as they marched, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." What a scene to remember. Surely all who looked down from the city walls as a long column of singing from the city walls at the long column of singing men and heard their deep bass voices echo from the mountains must have felt that this was one of the greatest moments in Jerusalem's history. What happened? The Bible says that when they began to sing praises, the Lord set ambushes against the Amorites and the Moabs, and they were smitten. Exactly what took place, we don't know. But it seems that all of a sudden, the enemy soldiers began to quarrel among themselves in fighting that followed. Thousands were killed. And when Jehoshaphat's singing army arrived at the scene, they found only dead bodies. They didn't have to fight at all, just as God had said through Jehezreel. For 3 days, they walked among dead bodies. Just imagine that. Imagine walking for 3 days, and that's how big the army was, and all they walked upon were dead bodies. That would be quite the sight. And they gathered riches and precious jewels more than they could carry away. So them trusting God through this, what would have been a deep trial, or through this trial, and then God didn't even have to fight. After they came across the army, he blessed them with more riches. And then it says that they had precious jewels more than they could carry away. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of, I'm not sure what that word is, it means blessing. And there they blessed the Lord. So they sang their way to victory, and because of their trust in God, the valley of fear became the valley of blessing. And here, I can maybe show you, I can't walk too far, but if you guys can see it, here is the Amorites and the Moabs. They just started fighting each other. You guys can see that. I'm not sure. But yeah. So here in this story, we can see that the Israelites had a big problem. There was a big army coming for them. And that problem is a lot bigger than the problems we face today. But the problems we face today still seem pretty real to us, right? What we need to remember is that when they had this big problem, the first thing their king did was he sought the Lord and he prayed. And he told all of Judah to come and pray. And then God answered them through a prayer. And then before they even won the battle, they trusted God so much that before they won the battle, they started singing to God like they won it already. And that's how it should be in our lives. If we trust fully that God has our best intentions in mind and that God is going to take care of us, maybe he's going to take care of us in different ways than we think, but that he is going to take care of us, he's going to provide, and he's going to make a way for us, then when we face trials and things in our lives, we can sing to him before we even win, because we know that he's going to provide a way. And then here it says that, like as it said in the story, that when they were essentially, this was a big problem, but then they left the problem richer than they even walked into it. So that's how it is in our lives. When we face problems and situations, oftentimes if we have a pure heart and we want to do what's right, and we do what's right, oftentimes we leave that situation a lot stronger and a lot better than we entered it. And then God can turn those things into blessings. And that's all I have for you. Hopefully you got something from it. But yeah, maybe we can pray and then you guys can be dismissed. Dear Lord, as we come before you this afternoon, Lord, I want to pray for these little children here, Lord, that you could just, through their troubles in life, Lord, you could just encourage them to sing, help them remember to sing, Lord. Help them to just seek you when they face little trials in life, little annoyances and little things they face, Lord. And I want to pray for us as a congregation, Lord, that you would help us do the same thing as our walk with you, Lord, that you could just help us to, when things come up, Lord, just to know that you have our best in mind, Lord. And just help us to turn our eyes to you and to seek you and to praise you. I pray for Leroy as he comes up here to share, Lord. I pray you could anoint his lips and pray that he could just speak your words boldly.